Morning, Gemara. Today's daf and Menachos daf Mem Tes. We are Mem Ches Amud Beis. We're at the top of the Amud on Mem Ches Amud Beis with the words Ki Aser Rav Yitzchak. We have been speaking extensively last number of days regarding the Shteya Lechem that's brought on Shavuos. Really extensively, it takes us all the way back where we first the topic first comes up on Mem Hei, and then from there the Gemara does not let go of the topic. The Shteya Lechem that's brought on Shavuos is a special carbon mentioned in Parshas Emor. Instructed to us in Parshas Emor in conjunction with the Kivsei Atzeres, in conjunction with a host of other karbanos that are mentioned there as well. And so the mitzvah of the Shteya Lechem requires the tenufa, requires its chametz. So we discussed it already with a number of details. And truth of the matter is, later in the Masechta, we're going to describe it in more details because an anomaly exists with the Shteya Lechem, and that it's chametz, it's not matzah. But that's coming up later in the Masechta. In the meantime, however, the Gemara explores many different ideas regarding the Shteya Lechem and the relationship between the Shteya Lechem and the Kivsei Atzeres. The Gemara in the top of Mem Zayin Amud Beis, taking us back now a couple days ago, so the brings down a machlokas, what happens, at what point exactly is the Shteya Lechem going to be imbued with the Kedushas HaGuf? Is it going to be at the point of Shechita, or is it going to be at the point of Zrikas Adam? So that was a machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon, which the Gemara spent Mem Zayin and a good part of Mem Ches, yesterday's daf, discussing that particular machlokas. The Gemara now continues, Ki Aser Rav Yitzchak, so we're picking it up now, on the top of the Amud, three lines down, Ki Aser Rav Yitzchak Tani. So Rav Yitzchak comes and he teaches the following brisa, Kivsei Atzeres Shashachtem Shaloki Mitzvasan. So let's say the Kivsei Atzeres, so those are the two lambs that are brought in Shavuos, and they're shechted not correctly, Shaloki Mitzvasan. Now, over the duration of this entire discussion the Gemara is going to have, parenthetically, by the way, this is a new sugya. This is not related to yesterday's daf. Obviously, it's still the same topic. But anyway, so throughout the entire discussion of the Gemara, Rashi over here entertains two pshatim. And to expedite and to simplify, I'm going to only work with Rashi's first pshat. Rashi, throughout the entire sugya, actually goes back and forth between pshat A and pshat B. But right now, for today's daf, we're going to be doing just pshat A. And Shaloki Mitzvasan over here simply means Shalol Lishma. So the intent that the Kohen had when shechting the Kivsei Atzeres is he had another carbon in mind, the classic case of Shalol Lishma. So if the Kivsei Atzeres were shechted Shalol Lishma Psulim, so they're going to be disqualified. Now that's rather amazing. Why? Because we go all the way back to the beginning of Seder Kachim and we go to the first page of Zvachim. On the first page of Zvachim, we learn together that a carbon that shechted shalol lishma is not disqualified, but rather lo alu labalam l'shem chova. It simply doesn't count towards its owner. The owner is not going to receive credit, but the carbon is not possible. Now the Mishnah over there does mention that there are a couple of carbonos that are going to be disqualified with a shalol lishma. One of them is going to be the carbon chatos, and the second one is going to be carbon pesach. Good, and that's it. So it's not a long list, and it's not that extensive, and those are the two exceptions. And what we're learning now, well into Seder Kashim, Amenachas, Daf Mem Chesam Adveis, on the top of the Amud, is that seemingly we can add a third one to the list. Now Tosus already over here points out, well, that's a little bit difficult, meaning if this is true, that if my Kivsei Atzeres, that are Shechter Shalosh Shema are going to be Pasul, so why isn't it mentioned in the Mishnah on Zvachim Daf Bezim Ad Aleph? Okay, and there's obviously we can go much further into this discussion, but let's keep everything nice and simple. So according to the Braisa, the Kivsei Atzeres or Shechter Shalosh Shema are going to be disqualified. Two bar tzurasan. Now in terms of disposal, so some karbanos you're allowed to dispose of immediately. Some disqualifications, I should say, better you're allowed to dispose immediately, and some of them you're going to have to wait overnight before disposal. This is the latter. This one you're going to have to wait overnight before disposal, what the Gemara classically refers to as Ibert Sura. Let it lose its original form, like basically become dehydrated overnight, dry and wait until the next morning, and then get to the basis reifa, and then take it out to the basis reifa in order to get it in order for disposal. Now Amar Rav Nachman Mar Demakish Lahu. Did I skip? No. Amar Rav Nachman Mar Demakish Lahu Chatos Tini Psulim. Okay, so now Rav Nachman, in an explanation of the of this brayso, says like this: how could it be that Kivsei Atzeres, which is a shlamim really, chalmi tzibur, how could it be that when you have shalol lishma, it's going to be pasul? Do you know that normally when you have regular shlamim and you shech the shalol shma, it doesn't become pasul? So why should kifsei atzeres be any different? So Rav Nachman goes on to explain, because of a hekesh. Meaning, if you open up the Chumash, we did this already numerous times. If you open up the Chumash, the Parshas Emor, Perichav Gimel, and you look up the Pesukim and Kifsei Atzeres in that Pasuk, you also have a Karban Chatzos. So what you have over here is a Hekesh. In the same Pasuk, you have Shal Mitzibur together, coupled together with the Karban Chatzos that's brought on Shavuos. And so we know Chatzos, that Shech Shalol Shema is going to be Pasul. Same thing is going to be true regarding the Shal Mitzibur. Tana de Be'levi, Degam Rishal Mechova, Misham Nedavet, Tanei Kesherim. Now, Tana de Be'levi. Now there is another Braisa, also same topic, different conclusion. And that is, he understands that the Shal Mechovar are learned from Shalman Nedava, and therefore he's going to learn that it's Kasher. Meaning, because the Kifsei Atzeres are fundamentally Shlamim, and because the Shlamim, the Shech Shalol Shema is going to be Kasher, so too are the Kifsei Atzeres that are going to be Shech Lishma, sorry, that are Shech Shalol Shema, are also going to be Kasher. Didni Levi, how do I know that this is so? The Gemara quotes a Braisa. Ushar Shalmin Azir, Sheshachtin Shaloki Mitzvah Sanifai, the Shalmin Azir, that Shechtin not correctly, and again, we're working with Rashi's first Pshat. Not correctly over here means Shalol Lishma. So the parentheses, which we don't normally read, but here we'll do so. Ksherim Velo Alu Labalim, L'Shem Chova. So it's acceptable, it just simply doesn't, it's not going to be credit to the owner. By the way, the owner over here, this is unusual, because this is a carbon seaboard, it's a public carbon. So the owner over here is the public. So when it says, it means that the public ownership did not get credit, meaning that the public still has to is still on the hook for that shvuos to bring kivsei atzeres. Nechalam yom v'layla, so it's now kosher, however, can only be eaten for one day and one night. Now, this is unusual also, because normally a shlamim is eaten for 2 days, but this is shalmit sibor, ve'intun en lolechem v'lo zroa, and there's no requirement of neither lechem nor zroa, meaning, because it was Shechter Shalol Shema, we're not going to be treating it with any of the special halachas that would apply to the Kifsei Atzeres. In the meantime, this Braisa clearly states that when a person has, when the Kohen has a Shalol Shema Machshava while Shechting the Kifsei Atzeres, it is not, it's not going to be Pasul, because he compares the Shalmit Sibor of Shavuos to that of a regular Shlamit. Makes way the Gemara challenges with the following Braisa, Asham Ben Shana. If you have an asham that comes from a one-year-old. In other words, when it comes to ashamos, ashamos are broken down into six different types of ashamos. And of those, some of them are being brought by a keves ben shnaso, a lamb that's within its first year of life. And some of them are brought from an ayil. So for example, says Rashi, the asham that's brought by a nazir, by somebody who was tamei, by somebody who's a mitzora, these various ashamos. So, they have to bring an animal that's within its first year. We're going to call a keves, right? Keves ben shnaso. The heavy ben shtayim, and instead they brought a two-year-old, which is not man, that's not what the Torah wanted. A two-year-old, by the way, is going to be brought for asham gzelos and asham and asham ilos. So, or ben shtayim, the heavy ben shana, or conversely, the opposite. Psulim v'tu batzer aslan. So here, when you bring an animal that's of the wrong age, so there, it's a disqualification. It's a disqualification where, once again, it don't dispose of immediately. First, Ibritzura, let it lay overnight. Then in the morning, take it out to the Beis HaSreifa. V'yatzu le-Beis HaSreifa. Ava olas nazir, va'olas yoles, va'olas mitzora. But let's say a carbon ola, of that of a nazir, or a woman who's given birth, or a mitzora, shayu b'nei shtei shanim, v'shachtan k'sherin. So a two-year-old that was shechted is going to be kasher. Klalo shel davar, kol ha-kasher ba-olas nedava, kasher ba-olas chova. Anything that would have been kasher when it comes to an olas nedava is going to be kasher by olas chova, kol ha-pasal b'chatzos, pasal ba-asham. And anything that would have disqualified a karmen chatzos is going to disqualify an asham. Chutz mi-shalol l'shmo, with the notable exception of shalol l'shmo, where there it's not going to be disqualifying your ashamos. Okay, what do we just eat together in the Braisa? That with a shalol l'shmo, so it's not going to be disqualified. So the Gemara says, hi, tan and tan de be'levihu. So the Gemara says, fine. Braisa doesn't bother me. We just learned in the top of this Amud that it's a machlokus whether or not kivsei atzerach that shechta shalol l'shmo are going to be pasul or kosher. So we opened up the morning by saying it's pasul. But then we noted that tan de be'levi says that it's kosher. This Braisa goes according to the opinion of tan de be'levi. Tashma didni Levi. Now the Gemara is going to quote another Braisa. Now this Braisa also happens to be taught by Levi himself. which is Asham Nazir Asham Mitzar Sheshachtim Shelo Lishman, a carbon Asham of either a Nazir or Mitzar that was Shechta Shelo Lishman. Ksheir v'la ala l'balim l'shem chova. So it would be kosher, it just simply doesn't get credit towards its owner. Or to say it better, the owner of it does not receive credit. Shachta mechus v'zman be'balim o shayu b'nei shtei shanim v'shachtan psulim. Now let's say I shechted it, but it was prematurely. In other words, let's say, for example, the owner himself has not yet gone to his eighth day. A mitzvah can only bring these karbanos only from the eighth day and onward, if he brought it prematurely. Or let's say it was 2 year old. Where for these people, they do not bring a karban of a 2 year old, but rather that of a 1 year old. So under these circumstances, possible, it would be disqualified. Now the Gemara says, now I'm curious, because the mitzvah brings a number of karbanos complemented with the karban shlamim. So now the Gemara is wondering. Earlier we said that what we have over here is that we learn out shlamim from shlamim, and we can also learn out that which is in the same pasuk. Since an asham of a mitzvah is also together in the same parsha, and the asham of a nazir is in the same parsha of a shlamim, so why doesn't the Hekesh allow us to say that just like a shlamim, the shechta shlo lishma is going to be kasher, so too the ashamos are also going to be kasher as well. So shlamim mishlamim gamar, asham mishlamim lo gamar. So the Gemara says no. Let's slow down. In other words, to learn the kifsei atzeres from a standard shlamim, that's acceptable because the kifsei atzeres is a karmic shlamim, and so is obviously a standard shlamim. But when it comes to an asham, we're not going to learn out asham from a shlamim. V'i gamar shlamim mishlamim ligmar nami asham b'asham. So the Gemara says okay. So fine. So you want to learn out from shlamim. I understand that, but also why not learn out asham from asham? Asham Nazir v'Asham Mitzar mi'Asham Gzeles v'Asham Ilos. Oh, Asham Gzeles v'Asham Ilos mi'Asham Nazir v'Asham Mitzar. Meaning, we have already established twice in this Amud that if I bring a 2-year-old and I should have brought a 1-year-old, it's disqualified. Or conversely, the opposite's true. If I was supposed to bring a 1-year-old and I brought a 2-year-old, it's going to be disqualified. The Gemara says, but here's what I don't understand. They're all various different types of carbon ashamos, so why don't I just do some sort of transitive property. That if I could bring a 2-year-old in one example, so then obviously I should be bringing a 1-year-old when it comes to things like a nazir and a mitzara. But if I bring a 2-year-old, it's okay. It should be okay. Other ashamas come as a 2-year-old. So I'm Rav Shimon bar Ashi, done in davish shalom be'echshero, medavish shalom be'echshero. Vein done in davish shalom be'echshero, medavish be'echshero. So the Gemara says no, because when it comes to karbanos like a gzela, asham gzela, and asham ila, so that's something that shalom be'echshero, meaning that's something that was done incorrectly. And I'm not going to be able to transfer from one type of carbon asham to another type of carbon asham. But over here, when it comes to the shlamim of kifsei atzeres are kosher. The shlamim of a standard shlamim are kosher, meaning it's davrish be'echshero. And so therefore, I can learn one from the other. Below, the Gemara asks the question, v'atani willington b'raisa minayin liyotze shimala lo yarad, an animal that was taken out of the azara is disqualified. If, however, you brought it back inside. If, however, when I say animals, by the way, I mean after we shechted. And now you have parts of an animal that were supposed to go into the mizbeach, but were taken out of the mizbeach. So if it was taken out of the azar and was brought back in, so it shouldn't go onto the mizbeach. However, if it goes onto the mizbeach, lo yarad, it shouldn't come down from the mizbeach. Now why? So shari yotze kasher bebama. So the answer, says the Gemara, is because we know that it is not unprecedented in that in the historical period of time where bamos were mutter, so there was no idea of yotze, so therefore an animal could be taken out, but an animal could be brought back in. There is no taking out, there is no bringing back in. So since we have this idea, which is kasher by a bama, so therefore we could transfer it over to a regular example of a carbon that's taken out of the azara. And the Gemara says, what just happened over here? Meaning we just took an idea of yotze, which is shelo behechshero, and we learned the halacha from bama, which is behechshero. How can you learn out one from the other? So Tana, the Gemara says, no. I was returned to the top of Mem Tesem and Alf. Tana is a Torah, so Ola is Riba Samechle. So the Gemara says, no. Really, the source of the halacha comes from a ribui. And the idea that we're learning it from bama it's an asmachta ba'alma, meaning it's just a way to remember the halacha. But in terms of the source of the halacha actually comes from a pasuk. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of this particular discussion. So, kivsei atzeres, that are shechta shelo l'shma, so it's a machlokus amongst the, perhaps Tanaim, but certainly the Amoraim, whether or not it would be pasuk kasher. And Rashi, throughout the entire Amud that we just got finished learning together. So Rashi keeps saying, and as one of the pshatim, he offers two, but we only learn one together. As one of the pshatim, Rashi says that it was shechta shelo l'shma, and one opinion is that it is pasul, it's disqualified, and another opinion is that it's kasher. And what's the root of this discussion over here? The kivsei atzeres of Shavuos, are we learning it out from a chatas, in that it's in the same pasuk as a carbon chatas, what we would call a hekesh, or no? Do we learn it based on, I guess we'll call it binyanav. I know the Gemara doesn't use those words, but it's kind of like a binyanav. Meaning by a standard shlam in the shechta shelo l'shma, it's kasher. So the kivsei atzeres, which the Torah puts under the category of shlamim, so therefore it's going to be kasher as well. Okay. Ad kan, that takes us to the end of the sugya. We are now on the top of Mem Tesam and Aleph today. Zdaf Tani, Rava Barbachanaka made the Rav. The following brisa was taught in front of Rav. Kivsei atzeres, sheshachlam l'shum elim, ksherim velo alu labalam l'shem chova. Okay, so the Gemara now is going to certainly here talk about shelo l'shmo. That's clear. Now, it was a kivsei atzeres, it was a lamb, meaning it was a one-year-old, and it was shechted as a ram. Now, same animal, just a question of age. An aisle is a two-year-old. And by the way, just to make the point really clear, and when we talk about animals and we say a one-year-old and two-year-old, so don't think about the way we describe our own ages, right? In other words, we talk about a child being a year old after he completes a year. In the Torah and in the Gemara, when we're describing animals and the age of animals, a one-year-old means it's within its first year of life. A two-year-old is that it's between the age of one and two. Okay, anyway. So, if I were to take the kivsei atzeres and shecht it as an aisle. So what the Kohen now is doing is as follows. So it's a kivsei atzeres which needs a one-year-old, and the Kohen now takes it, and his intent is a two-year-old. So ksherim v'lo alu l'bal m'shem chova. So it would be kosher, however, it does not, it's a shinu kodesh, meaning because he had another carbon in mind, so therefore lo alu labalim, meaning the Jewish people that you're going to have to bring another set of kivsei atzeres. Now, I'm sorry. In English, I'm not being careful about the way I say it. So in other words, in the Gemara and the Torah, kevis is a 1 year old, aisle is a 2 year old. Okay, and let's. Same family. It's male, but it's a two-year-old. Right now, the only thing we're discussing in terms of significance is just simply the age. That's it. Okay. So you'll forgive me if my English is not perfectly accurate. But in other words, Kevis and Ayo. Okay, that's the easiest way to say it. So anyway, so what comes out now is as follows. It's an interesting case of Shinui Kodesh. Shinui Kodesh usually has us considering another type of carbon altogether. So let's say, for example, the Kohen is shechting a carbon shlamim, and he says while shechting carbon shlamim, I'm shechting this as a carbon ola. Okay, that's Shinui Kodesh. That's the classic example of Shinui Kodesh. Over here, it's really strange, and it's going to get even stranger in just a moment. But it's really strange because what the Kohen now is taking into consideration as a deviation as Shinui Kodesh is that it's the same animal, just wrong age. But as we learned earlier, wrong age is a big deal. Meaning the Torah wants us to bring four Shavuos, kivsei atzeres, kvasim are a one-year-old. And the Kohen has in mind a two-year-old. So Amalei Rav Alavalu, so Rav says, no, I disagree. Rav says, right, in other words, he just dismisses the Brisa. Right? Or he's saying maybe the Brisa is corrupt. However he's learning the Brisa, Rav disagrees. Rav says, no. That if the Kohen has in mind an aisle, even though it's a kevis that was needed, so under those circumstances, it's not even Shinui Kodesh. The Gemara goes on to explain. Am Rav Chisim Estabim Milsa Darav B'chisavar Elim V'shachtam L'shum Kvasim Sherei Kvasim L'shum Kvasim Nishchetu. So what Rav Chisim wants to try to do now is try to wrap his head around the opinion of Rav and really gain a better understanding. So let's imagine now the following scenario. Let's say the Kohen goes up to the what he believes is a 1 year old, and he Let me do that better, and let me do it correctly. The Kohen goes over to the Kvasim, and he right now is under the erroneous opinion that it's not a 1 year old, but rather it's a 2 year old. Okay, and he happens to be wrong, meaning it's a Kevis. It's a 1 year old, and the Kohen now goes over it and thinks to himself, "Ah, this is an aisle. Perfect." That's what I want. I want an aisle. The Torah wants a kevis. That's fine. Good for the Torah. I want an aisle. So kasavra elim v'shachlam v'shem kvasim. And he now says, you know what? This is a 2 year old. But I, in other words, in his mind, it's a 2 year old, and I happen to be shechting it as a kevis. So, like I said, it's going to get a little bit more complicated. So as now this particular kohen is approaching this particular kevis. In his mind, he thinks it's an aisle. And he now is changing it to a kevis. So under those circumstances, let's now take everything into consideration. It's a kevis, shechted as a kevis. It just happens to be that at the time, the Kohen didn't know any better, meaning he doesn't know how to discriminate between a one-year-old versus a two-year-old. He thought it was a two-year-old, but he then deviated in his thought that he's going to bring it as a kevis as a one-year-old. Okay, so under those circumstances, says Rav Chista, I can easily imagine that according to that, under those circumstances, that Rav would say it's okay. Aval. Kasavar elim v'shachtim l'shum elim. Lo. However, let's say, again, he approached it, he thought it was a two-year-old. He actually shechs it as a two-year-old, so then lo. Why? Because Akira betos havi Akira. Because over there, that's an Akira. In other words, even though the animal was actually 1 year of age, but because this particular Kohen goes over to the animal and thinks it's a two-year-old and articulates, I'm shechting this as a two-year-old, as an aisle, not as a kevis, and even though he's wrong, factually he's wrong, but nevertheless, that is what the Gemara now describes as akira bitaus. He's uprooted the animal, albeit he did it under his wrong impression, but still it's an akira, and the Gemara says under those circumstances it actually serves as an akira. Rabbi Makira betos lo havi akira, and Rabbi says no, that's not true. In other words, if you're trying to change an animal from its status, but under a wrong impression, that's nothing. Halachically, that's nothing. And Amar Rava umosvina shmaisa. Now Rav himself asks the following question on himself, which is the following. Akonim shepiglu b'mikdash modim, I'm sorry, mizinim chayavim, hashogigim peturim. Okay, we take ourselves well back, and we learned this all the way back in Gittin in the fifth parak. And this is the topic of Hezek Sheino Nikar. Now, the topic of Hezek Sheino Nikar basically goes like this. I do damage, I have to pay it for it. Okay, that's Baba Kama summed up in one sentence. Not all Baba Kama, but the first six parakim. Okay. If I break it, I pay for it. Now, but in terms of the normal halachas of damages, and in other words, breaking means I have to physically alter the item that belongs to you, right? If I take my car and slam it into your car, let's say no one gets hurt. Even if somebody gets hurt, I have to pay for that as well. So in other words, that's nezek, and I have to pay for that. What about nezek sheino nikar? Let's say I damage you, but in other words, it's not recognizable, meaning it's halachic damage, but no one recognizes it. Let's say, for example, you have truma, and I mitame that truma of yours, and now you can no longer eat it. Did I change the item? No. I halachically changed the item, but I didn't physically change the item. This is what's called hezek sheino nikar. Good. Let's say the Kohen takes my karbon and is mefagel my karbon. So with a machshavas pigel, he's mefagel my karbon. Did he physically change my animal? No. Halachically, he hurt me. And obviously, it's going to cause me a loss of money. So, what is the halacha? So we learned back in the fifth parak of Gittin that if the Kohen is mefagel and he does so b'mezid, he's on the hook, he has to pay. If, however, he does it b'shogig, he does not have to pay. This is hezek sheino nikar. Now, shogigim peturim, v'tini ala pigulam pigul. Now, we also learned together that the pigul that he does, and obviously it was wrong, but it's pigul registers as pigul. Now, hechidami. Now, the Gemara says, now, exactly what are the considerations over here? What was going on in the Kohen's mind? And by pickle, by the way, you can always ask this question. Like, what is he trying to do? But anyway, so what's going on in his mind? So I shog again. So if he thought it was a chatas, and now he has in mind a shlamim, so that's that shogig mezidin havu, meaning that's the classic case of mezid. Elalav disavish shlamim hu v'kachashav alashum shlamim v'katan pigul lam pigul. So in other words, he thought it was a shlamim, and he had a machshava l'shem shlamim, and we're learning together that pigul's pigul, meaning he was under an erroneous understanding. Or let me say it a little bit easier. He was under the misconception that he thought it was one type of animal, and meanwhile, it wasn't that type of animal. And yet the pigle registers as pigle. So you see that Akira Batos is in fact considered Akira. Ama Akira Batos Havi Akira. So Amalei Abai Lolam Diyad Dechatzu V'Kamechashav Balashum Shlamim. So, no. So Abai says, no, we can give a different example of what would be an example of shogeg. In other words, the example is that he knew it was a chatas, and he wanted to deviate it to a carbon shlamim over omer mutter. And why did he do that? He thought it was okay to do that. Meaning he thought that carbonates were fungible. I could take a carbon and move it from one category to another category. He didn't know that it was usser. That would be an example of shogeg. Meisav Rav Zera, the Gemara challenges based on another brisa. We learned this a long time ago. We learned this in the beginning of Masechta Menachos. Rabbi Shimon Amar Kol Mincha Shenik Mitzvah Shlo L'Shman K'sherim Va'alu L'Bal M'Shem Chova She'ein HaMenachos Dom L'Zvachem. According to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, if I do a shinui by Menachos, it's not going to change the Mincha. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's not like a karban. Sha'akamitz Machvas L'Shem Acheshas Ma'aseh Mochichin Ala Ashi'i Machvas Charev L'Shem Belula Ma'aseh Mochichin Ala Ashi'i Chareva. So when I do Menachos, each Mincha physically is treated in a unique manner. A minchas machavas is not like a marcheshes, and vice versa. A mincha without oil is not like a mincha with oil. And all the details of all these different menachos we're going to learn later in the Masechta. But in the meantime, Rabbi Shimon says, because they are physically different than one another, so therefore there can be no shinui as it relates to the menachos. Aval bezvachim inokein, shchita achazukulan, kabbalah achazukulan, zricha achazukulan. But when it comes to our standard carbon, that's of course not true. Meaning by a standard carbon, it's one Zrika, it's one Kabbalah. In other words, the standard way of doing Avoda for every carbon is the same. So now what's going to make differentiation? That which the Kohen articulates. And that's why there can be a Shinui Kodesh as it relates to Karbanos. Now the Gemara says, good. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. We saw that 49 days ago in Menachos. Now, Hechidami. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. If, let's say, he knows exactly what it is, it's a machvas, and he changes the designation, at least he tries to articulate so, and he says it's a marcheshes. So the Gemara says, I don't understand under those circumstances. So let's say, I know they're physically different than one another, but he's articulating that it's different. Shouldn't that matter? So Alalav de Chasavar Macheshes Hiva Kakamis Lishem Macheshes Vita Dahacha Hu De Maaseh Mochichin Alam. So the Gemara says, so it must be that the case is that as the Kohen approaches this particular mincha, he erroneously thought it was a Macheshes. It wasn't. He then offered it as a Macheshes, but it wasn't. So and the Gemara says, and under those circumstances, Rabbi Shimon says Maaseh Mochichin Alam Haba Amakir B'Tasu Akira. So only because you have the mitigating consideration of this idea of ma'aseh mochichin alel, then and only then is the mincha going to be unchallenged and unchanged. But meanwhile, however, in a regular case of a karban, that would actually create a change, even though the kohen was under a false understanding. So Abai once again says, no, you misunderstood. The case over there is that he knew exactly what he was. He was not under any false pretense. And he tries to make a change. And you say to me, well, if he's trying to make a change, shouldn't that affect it? And the answer is no. Udikamar ki ma'aseh mochichin ala amai have rav latami dama rav ha-machshava de la minkara pasol rachmana machshava de minkara la pasol rachmana. And as far as giving an explanation over here, I'll give you a very simple explanation. When something is self-evident, I know we talked about this also in the beginning of the Masechta. When something is self-evident, meaning menachos are prepared physically in different manners, So if I have a minchas marcheshes, whatever I say that belie that is going to be totally disregarded. Because look at what it is. It is what it is. And nothing that the Kohen can say can change that designation. And so therefore, that's in fact exactly the case. The case is where the Kohen is trying to change its designation, but it's not going to work by mincha simply because it is what it is. It physically is what it is. Ad kan, that takes us to the end of the discussion. So the opening of Mem Tesem and Aleph takes us through a discussion of what happens if I do Akira Batos, where the Kohen is trying to make a deviation but under a false pretense. Is that halachically significant, yes or no? And the Gemara brings it down basically as a machlokas amongst the Amoraim. We open up now with the next Mishnah, and we are going to not be changing topics, but still on the topic of ikuva. In other words, if I have various karbonas that are brought, is one karbon going to hold back the other karbon? So we have already spent 4 days talking about the shtei alechem, the kifsei atzeres, because they are holding each other back. I cannot bring one without the other. But now the Mishnah goes on to discuss it on the more broader sense. Hatzmidim eim ha'akvin es musafim v'lo musafim ha'akvin es hatzmidim. So as far as a day where you bring both a carbon tamid and a carbon musaf. Carbon tamid, as we all know, is brought every day. Carbon musaf is brought on special days. Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Yontif, Yom Kippur, etc., etc. So you have musafim. So one does not hold back the other. If let's say all I have is a carbon tamid and I don't have a musaf, fine, bring the carbon tamid. Let's say I have the musaf, I don't have the carbon tamid, bring the musaf without the carbon tamid. V'lom musafim ma'akvin ze'azen, the musafim are not going to be ma'akiv one another. Lo ikrivu kefes baboki, akrivu bein arbayim. Now, let's say this morning, for whatever reason, the Beis HaMikdash did not bring the carbon tamid shel shachar. Okay. Now that's a staple that's brought every day. But for whatever reason, it's not brought in the morning. So the Kohanim that afternoon should not say to themselves, well, you know, we didn't bring the morning one. Okay, you know what? Let's not bring the afternoon. Well, maybe we can bring the afternoon one. Maybe they complement one another. No, the Mishnah says that's not correct. Even though you didn't bring the morning one, you bring the afternoon one. Basically telling us that they are independent of one another. And maybe what we could also say is that they are two separate mitzvos. Now, it happens to be that I know it's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, in terms of whether or not you count it as one mitzvah or two separate mitzvahs. But anyway, and that may not impact our discussion. So I'll keep that out of this discussion. Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that if the reason why we didn't bring the Tamid Shel Shachar this morning is because of mishap or shogeg, so fine. So you bring the afternoon Tamid, the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. But if the reason why the carbon tamid was not brought this morning is because of I'll call it gross negligence, in other words, or not, or maybe not gross negligence, but intentionally, it's hard to imagine the Kohanim would be mazed like this. But for intentional reason, they didn't bring it that morning. So Rabbi Shimon says, under that circumstances, they're not bringing it in the afternoon, and we'll understand later the opinion of Rabbi Shimon why that should be. Lo k'tiru k'toros baboki yak'tiru bein arbayim. If the Ketoros is not brought in the morning, you bring it in the afternoon. Ketoros also is brought daily, twice a day, once in the morning and once in the afternoon, and again, the same point. If you didn't bring in the morning, you still bring in the afternoon. I'm Rabbi Shimon, v'kula isa kreva bein ha'arbayim. And Rabbi Shimon says that the entirety of it is brought bein ha'arbayim, meaning that you bring a certain amount every day and you divide that into half, half in the morning, half in the afternoon. So what Rabbi Shimon's telling us is that if I didn't bring the one in the morning, I still bring the second half in the afternoon, but not the second half, the first half and the second half. And again, we'll talk more about that later. Now, the Gemara here seems to go non sequitur. As the Gemara now is talking about chinuch, how do I inaugurate various kelim in the Beis HaMikdash? And the Gemara later is going to ask the question, we'll see in tomorrow's daf, like what just happened over here in the Mishnah? The Mishnah is going totally non sequitur. And so when we get to the Gemara tomorrow, we'll understand it better. But anyway, so how do I inaugurate the inner Mizbeach with the Ketoros? How is the outer Mizbeach inaugurated with the Tamid? The Shulchan is inaugurated with the bread, B'Shabbos, specifically brought on Shabbos. And the inauguration of the menorah is by lighting the light in the menorah. Basically, by the way, in terms of inauguration, it's really simple. In other words, how do I inaugurate an item? By using it for its primary purpose. Right? Good. And by the way, we just learned together that the it's funny. I'm not sure how to articulate this. The primary purpose of the Mizbech HaChitzon is the Tamid Shel Shachar. That's like the primary purpose. Okay, but in any event. Okay. That last part of the Mishnah obviously is very strange. It seemingly had nothing to do with the first half of the Mishnah. Tomorrow we discuss that. But today, by Minei Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin Meirav Chisot Tzibur, Shein Lem Tmidim U'Masafim Ezem Em Kodim. So let's say I have a Tzibur. We right now, the communal funds are really limited. Or whatever the explanation may be, but you now have only one carbon opportunity to bring. You have now either to bring the Tamid, let's say today's Shabbos. Let's say I can either bring the Tamid or I can bring the Musaf, but I can't bring both. Which carbon should be brought? So, hey, Chidami, the Gemara says, that's not so hard to figure out. Ilema Tamidim Diyuma Musafim Diyuma Pshita Tamidim Adifa Davalu Tadir Umakudash. So the Gemara says, look, if we're talking about today's carbon Tamid, meaning today, let's say today's Shabbos. I know tomorrow is, but let's say today's Shabbos. And I have today's Tamid and today's Musaf. It's a no-brainer. Of course you bring the Tamid. Number one, it's Tadir. And number two, says the Gemara, this is really interesting. It's also Mikudash, it's also holier. The Tamid is holier than the Musaf? How did the Gemara arrive at that conclusion? Rashi offers two pshatim. Rashi says, I'm reading the Rashi inside. Tadir b'chol yom ha-mikudash ha-yom yom tov hu di ilav yom tov leka musaf u-musafim lo havu ela mikudash. So, the first pshat of Rashi is basically, and Tosfos understands it this way. Basically, when you bring a Tamid on Shabbos, it's not a regular Tamid. Now, this is an idea we also expressed earlier in the Masechta. A Tamid that's brought on Shabbos is a Shabbos Tamid, right? It's like when you're davening Shacharis on Shabbos. It's not just a regular Shacharis, it's a Shabbos Shacharis. Now, it happens to be that in other words, the Chachamim made it special for us. They took out the middle brachos and they replaced it with a... But in other words, but the point is that anything that is quote-unquote regularly done on Shabbos is not regular. It's Shabbos. So the Tamid of Shabbos is a Shabbos Tamid. The Musaf also is a Shabbos one as well. But in other words, that is why the Tamid Shel Shachar on Shabbos is both Tadir and Mekudesh. A second Pshat of Rashi, Lashon Acher, Tamidim Mekudashim, Kodem Musafim, De Tamidim Kreva Bereisha. Also, do you know what also makes it more Kadosh? Because it comes first. Something that comes first has more Kedusha. Right? Think about the Aliyahs. Right? Who gets the first Aliyah? Kohen. Meaning, I understand, it's, what's the cause and what's the effect. But the idea is that when something comes first, it has more Kedusha. Fine. So, Tadir Mekudash. El Tamidim Delamachar Musafim Da'idna. So, Tamidim Adifa Shekein Tadir. Tadir. So the Gemara says no. So the question goes like this. Let's say it's a choice between tomorrow's Karban Tamid or today's Musaf. That's my choice. And now a question of order of operations. I'm sorry, not even order of operations. It's what's it called? It's limited resources. I only have one animal. So which one do I bring? Today's Musaf or tomorrow's Tamid? So on one hand, it says the Gemara, El Tamid Delamachar Musafim Da'idna. Tamidim Na'adifa Shekein Tadir. On one hand, tomorrow's Tamid, that falls under the category of Tadir, meaning it's obviously brought more regularly. Oh, Dilma Musafim Adifa Da'avla Mekudash, or maybe no. Maybe the Musaf, which is coming either for Rosh Chodesh or for Yontif or for Shabbos, it has more Kedusha. Okay, so the Gemara says, good. Now we have a question on our hands. Now basically, what we're doing over here is we're trying to weigh which takes priority, that which is Tadir versus that which is Mekudash. The Gemara over here is a little bit difficult because we learned back in Zvachim, the Gemara actually entertained this very question of Tadir versus Mekudash. And if you remember, the Gemara's conclusion over there was inconclusive. We don't know. And so basically, the Gemara over here is asking the same question.
Here's a different case because there's a time differential here.
Okay,
today
fine.
Today is here.
Right, right, right.
We might get another answer.
Okay, good.
So, 1 minute
or 2 minutes. Fine. But in other words, but the Gemara is just conceptualizing it and putting it under the clash between Tadir versus Kedusha. So Amrei Tanisua Tamidim Ein Ma'akvin Es Musaf V'Lo Musaf Ma'akvin Es Tamidim V'Lo Musaf Ma'akvin Zeh. Okay, so the Gemara says, well, let's quote our Mishnah and now let's explore our Mishnah. Hey Chidami Ilema Di Islei Ula Kadem V'Hatanya Minayin Shelo Yidaver Kodem L'Tamid Shel Shachar Tamalam Averach La Olam V'Amarav Ha'Olah Ola Rishona. So the Gemara says, now you know that can't be. Because we know that if it's just a question of kedima, priority, of which one should come first, we know which one comes first. On any given day where you have a tamid and a musaf, the tamid comes before the musaf. We have a drasha that tells us that the tamid is and has to be, right now we think it has to be, the first carbon that's brought every day. Good. So our Mishnah here in Menachos cannot be talking about just a question of kedima, which one comes first. So the Gemara says, on the top of Mem Tesam has been based Elapshita Delaisai. So we're talking about where it's limited resources. Not just a question of which one comes first. V'idu yume amai tadir makudish tadir adif. Now the Gemara says again, it can't be, like we said earlier, where it's today's Tamid and today's Musaf. The Tamid is going to trump the Musaf for sure, because it has more Kedusha and it's more Tadir. Elalav d'lamachar. So therefore, just by simple process of elimination, so therefore the case of our Mishnah must be where it's today's Musaf or tomorrow's Tamid. That must be the question. So the Gemara says, V'ketani ma'akvin zedzeh. Amaki adadi ninu. Now the Gemara says, now what if the Mishnah, if we're understanding the Mishnah correctly, so what the Mishnah now seemingly is coming to teach us is, there's no ikuv. Meaning, they're basically on par with one another. It's a push. The Gemara says, no. And the Gemara says, now we're going to go back to what we suggested earlier. You didn't like it, but now we're going to bring it back. And that is, the Mishnah was only talking about Kedima. The Mishnah says, in terms of order, that's what the Mishnah says, when it said, Ein Makvin Zed Zed. Meaning that, L'chatchila, of course you should bring the carbon tamid before the Musaf. So yeah, that's what the Gemara describes over here as Mitzvah Ba'alma. But as far as Bidi Eved, it would be okay. That's what the Mishnah means when it says it's not ma'akiv zeh et zeh. Okay. What we have in front of us right now is a discussion in the question of when I have a clash between Tadr versus Mekudash. The example that the Gemara keeps repeating is if I have today's Musaf or I could bring tomorrow's Tamid. So which one should I favor? And right now, the question right now on the table is, we don't know. Meaning, from our Mishnah, it's inconclusive. Tashma, the Gemara says, well, let's consider the following. We need a warehouse in the Beis HaMikdash. I use the word warehouse, by the way. You think like this big building. But we need a storage facility in the Beis HaMikdash that is holding on reserve 6 animals every day. So that in the event that, let's say, I have Shabbos in 2 days, Rosh Hashanah, so I have a Tamid to be offered on all 3 of those days. 2 every day, 2 times 3, that's 6. So the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. On Shabbos and 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, that are contiguous one with another, there's a lot more than 6 karbanos. So when you have a Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah, so there are a total of 22 karbanos. You could see Rashi, I'm not going to go through it right now, where Rashi actually counts out the karbanos. So the Gemara says, Ella lav deleislei, ushmamina timidim adifi. So the Gemara says, so what do you see over here? It must be a case where it's 6 and meaning only 6. And that means to say that even though, what do you mean, if I have 6, should I be bringing today's Tamid and all the Musafim for today? And what we seem to be learning right now together is, no, you don't. Meaning, if all I have is enough for the Tamidim, I just bring for the Tamidim and I don't bring for the Musafim. Even though it's a question of tomorrow's Tamid versus today's Musaf. So the Gemara says, La'ola olam di'islei v'hachi ka'amar, ein pochas mishisha tlam ha'mavakarim v'lushkas atalayim, dal yamim kodesh chita, umani ben bag baghi. So the Gemara says, no. Over here, it's just simply telling us that for every carbon tamid, it needs 4 days of examination based on a teaching of Ben Bagbag. The Tanya we learned, Ben Bagbag Omer, Minan L'Tamid Shetam Bikar Dal Yamin Kodim Shechita. So a carbon tamid, and this, by the way, seems to be specific to the carbon tamid, needs a 4-day examination period. How do I know that? We learn it from carbon Pesach. Tamalamer Tishmuru L'Akriv Libba Moado. We have the word Shmir as it relates to the carbon tamid. Ulahalan Omer V'ayelachem L'Mishmeres Ad Arba Sayom. Malahalan taun bikur arba yamim kodesh shchita, afkan taun bikur arba yamim kodesh shchita. So just like the Pesach had a 4-day examination period, because the Torah instructed Bnei Israel in Mitzrayim to take on the 10th of the month, They shechted it on the 14th of the month, a four-day examination period. And since we have the word shmira in both the Karban Pesach and the Karban Tamid, coming to teach me that for the Karban Tamid, there also is a four-day examination period. So the reason why we have six on reserve is so that it would be able to have, we would be able to have a four-day examination period. Okay. And it has nothing to do with, I have limited resources, I only have six animals, and even though I should be bringing Musaf as well, that's not the issue at all. It's just an issue of a four-day examination period, according to the opinion of Ben Bagba. Okay, we'll stop over here. Okay, today three different discussions over the course of today's daf. Mm-hmm. Yesterday's daf, we finished up the question of Shechting Kifsei Atzer Shelo Lishmo. There is an opinion that says that it's possible, although it's hard to understand that, in light of the fact that it's not mentioned in the first mission in Zvachim, but that's an opinion. Although, as we learned earlier this morning, it's subject to a machlokus. Our second discussion is Akira B'taos. What were to happen if, let's say, the Kohen is doing a deviation, but under a misconception, is that going to be considered a shinui? Also, I don't want to say machlokus, but debatable. Let's just leave it like that. And then finally, Tamidim and Musafim are not ma'akiv zedzeh, which was the theme of the Mishnah, and a question of what if I have a clash between Tadir versus Kodesh, and which one takes priority. And right now, we're also at the point of a push. We don't know. Based on the Gemara we learned today.